You are listening to Strong Women on member-supported KAXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. On Strong Women, we listen to experiences and stories of women in northern Minnesota, and we hear about the work they are doing in community. Today, we're continuing the conversation with two strong women, Simone Senegals and Dawn Goodwin. Joining us in the conversation is the Strong Women coordinator, Laura Connolly. We conducted this conversation via Zoom. It was a long one, so you may have heard the first one if you missed out on the arrest that Simone went through. She spent a night in jail in Aiken County, and that story, you can check it out at our Strong Women section at KAXE.org. In this conversation, we're going to hear about missing and murdered Indigenous women, as well as what draws them to the land in Palisade, Minnesota, where the construction of Line 3 from Enbridge Energy is going on. Simone Senegals is the Food Sovereignty Program Coordinator for the Indigenous Environmental Network. I asked her what it's like there.
You can see the river. It's right there. When we first went there, there were trees along where the site was going to be. It looks like a typical, beautiful, rural northern Minnesota spot, you know, the kind that we grow up in. It's got a lot of wetlands, and it's got our beautiful Mississippi River there. There's no houses around real close by, at least, that you can see from the site. Although the woman that was my jailer in Aiken County said that she grew up just very nearby where the site is. So I know there's places that people are living there. So the first time we were there, we knew where the site was going to be, but there were trees. And it was amazing because the last time I was there just a couple of days ago, a huge swath of forest that has been just chewed up. That's the word I can use. It just looks like our trees have been chewed up. There's fencing with barbed wire lining the corridor. There are what look like to me like giant railroad ties that make almost a road through the corridor because the equipment is so heavy for our earth. It has to be fortified so that these terrible, huge machines don't sink into our wetlands. So it looks like a destruction zone, and it just makes me sad in a really deep way to see. Because I know the water's just sitting there, you know, the river's sitting there, it's sleeping like it's supposed to be. There are turtles sleeping in there. The fish are sleeping in there. And the life has no idea what's coming, that this terrible imposition, this destruction is going to be coming. And when we saw the trees being felled, there were birds flying around that looked like they didn't quite know what to do. And all these animals that have their winter dens and everything, everything's being disrupted. And it is to us as people to fight that for the ones who can't do it themselves.
That's Simone Senegals. You're listening to Strong Women on KAXE, KBXE. Dawn Goodwin is the co-founder of the RISE Coalition. She's representative of the Indigenous Environmental Network.
She described it perfectly. The first day I was there was December 4th. Yeah, they were just starting to fell the trees and they were in full force. And they just kept on and just kept chewing their way through. So December 4th is the day that I accidentally stopped the tree shears from going any further, right in front of the lodge, Winona's and Tanya's lodge that they built. Yeah, I just kind of felt moved. I wasn't thinking that I'm in a work zone. I was just by the lodge in the woods, basically. And I seen those markers, and we seen them in Clearbrook. And it was about, you know, wetlands. And so I just went over to look at the signs, and yep, they were the same, entering wetlands, exiting wetlands. And so the machine was shut off. So I thought it would be a good time to, felt the need to pray there. And so I did, and that's where the machine actually stopped. Had we not been there that day, I think they would have just clear cut that path all the way and probably destroyed the lodge even. And it was interesting that day because we had planned a field trip with Winona and some of the legislators that came that day. Mary Kunish Pudin was one. Yes, we were going to meet in Cromwell first. So we were going to check out work site, equipment yard, and a river site. So we were going to go to Cromwell, Floodwood, and then Palisade. But things got changed up, and we went to Palisade first. And we didn't make it to the other spots for the day of our field trip. We stayed right in Palisade. And so as I sat there, I was thinking, oh gosh, I started to pray. And then the officer was like, hey, you're in a work zone. And then I realized, oh, I'm in a work zone. Okay, I think I will be praying here just a little longer. And then I'm like, how long do I need to pray here and sit here? Do I have to be arrested? But I knew I was going to sit there. Hopefully I wasn't going to be arrested. I just wanted to continue praying. So basically it came to me that I would probably need to sit there till dark, till the machines wouldn't be able to work anymore. And lo and behold, that is what happened. And just before dark, the guy that was operating the machine asked the officer to have me move. And I was pretty much done with prayers by then. And so I got up and he said he wanted to safely get out, move out. And I said, oh, okay. And sure enough, he moved out and moved back. And then that was all the further they cut. And so that tree still sits there. And so does the lodge.
Don, you talked about like the duty of protecting the water, and there is more than the sacred water and the sacred land that has potential for destruction here. On work sites like this, when workers come in from all over the country for things, often women are impacted by that. And I know you had a special event for missing and murdered Indigenous women, but I wonder if you talk about that issue a little bit, about the potential too for destruction of culture through things like that.
So yeah, it was Simone that actually did the event action on Saturday. I was unable to go. But yes, it's near and dear to my heart too. We know it is a risk and a danger to our people, our women, and our men, because there's so much money floating around there. Yeah, they make so much money. And some people use it for good, yes. But so many use it for bad. That's what makes it so dangerous, combining that money and mindset, I guess you'd say hormones that men have, and physical desires or whatever that might be. So being in this time, there's so many people that are short on money, or you have so many people that in a vulnerable place themselves right now with addictions. And so it ups that level of danger for our communities. And then add COVID to all of that. And so it's proven that violence against women increases, murders and rapes in extraction zones. So that is proven. Everybody knows that.
The Minnesota legislature has been working on this issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women. There is, in fact, a task force on it. And in their report to the Minnesota legislature, they talk about these issues of places of construction, places of extraction, big projects like the Line 3 pipeline, like the oil fields in North Dakota. In this report, they say they acknowledge and address the historic, persistent human and Indigenous rights violations and abuses found within our state. With full bicameral support signed into action by Governor Walz in 2019, the task force is intent on unearthing the root causes behind the historic violence against Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people. In this report, they talk about some of the root causes. Simone's going to tell us more about that as well in this conversation. Root causes like racism, sexual objectification of Indigenous women and girls, and a demand for Indigenous women and girls through sex and violence. On the internet, in extractive industries, in entertainment, hotels and casinos, and sporting events. Don Goodwin tells us more.
And it's scary. One in three women will be violated. Yeah, it's very scary for us. I worry about just myself, even if I have to travel alone. Yeah, you don't even have to be in a vulnerable state or anything like that. You can just be somewhere at the wrong time and something bad happens to you.
Do you feel like the women kind of organized together around this, knowing that the violence against women increases in these zones? You know, like you're sticking together more, you're watching out for each other. Do you sense that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it's just going to increase. It's going to get stronger. We're going to get stronger and stronger to watch over each other and protect one another.
Simone, what was last Saturday like, this event?
So it was an impromptu decision. In Bemidji, we've had, for the past 4 years, a group of women who have organized to conduct an event every February 14th, in keeping with national actions here in the U.S. and in Canada around MMIW and MMIR, so missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and relatives. So we have one in Bemidji, and the women who organized that, including myself, we decided we wanted to continue to raise that issue in relation to what's going on with Line 3. And I know it's been, you know, it's a lot of people are aware of it, and it's been raised, and it's ever present for us. I don't think there's a family. I don't think there's a Native family who has not been affected by this in some way or another. But drawing that connection between violence on the land and violence on the body, and that this is a continuation of genocidal practices and colonization and the imposition of the patriarchy upon Native culture and worldviews, and especially like Anishinaabe, I can only speak for us. I'm sure that different tribes do it differently, but, and I think most tribes, you know, really hold women in high regard, and we have positions of power and influence and respect within our societies. And so Anishinaabe women are very strong. And as Don said before, it's our responsibility. So in our culture, women take care of the water and men take care of the fire. It's also part of what was going on. So the event was, we just wanted to go and pray for our relatives, acknowledge what's going on, draw attention to that relationship again, violence on the land, violence on the body, the connection with protecting water. But we went, and most of us are moms. So we brought our kids like we do. And that meant we were late. We were supposed to have it at 11, but we got there 12:30 because everybody had to go potty, and then somebody lost their mittens, and then somebody was hungry, and then we had to go potty again. So all of these moms and grandmas and aunties, we came there with our children to demand that people acknowledge and protect. We have to protect our sisters, our grandmas, our aunties, our cousins, and to name them and to stand up for them. Because as my sister Don said earlier, there's a proven correlation between the influx of transient male workers that are typically within the fossil fuel industry, whether it be pipeline workers or whether they're at extraction sites. Because they don't have connection to the community, they don't have to be accountable, and they sort of run rampant. And I'm saying all of them, but there's this overall tendency, yes. And the correlation between the influx again of transient male workers and the rise in criminal activities, especially sexual violence, sex trafficking, drugs and alcohol, and public, you know, drunkenness, those kind of things that sort of come with this sort of Wild West sort of feature that can develop. And we see it in places like Fort Berthold, right, in North Dakota, the Bakken oil sands. So we really wanted to draw attention again and push back against that dynamic. We don't want that in our community. We want people to be safe and healthy.
Thanks so much to Simone Senegals and Don Goodwin for sharing their story, and to our program coordinator of Strong Women. That's Laura Conley. You can hear the first part of this story and later today hear this story at our website, kaxe.org. There is a rally this Saturday and in Palisade, Minnesota, at the site of the construction of the Enbridge Energy Line 3 pipeline. They are looking for jingle dress dancers. Everyone's invited. It starts at 9:30. It's put on by Honor the Earth, MN350, Building a Climate Movement in Minnesota. Call us if you need more information, 800-662-5799. Find more information on the rally at welcomewaterprotectors.com. You can also find information on Enbridge Energy and the almost 3,000, they've set up to 4,000 jobs that have been created by the construction of the Line 3 pipeline. Find information on that company at enbridge.com. Strong Women is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Stay tuned to the airwaves of KAXE KBXE. We'll be announcing some virtual focus groups for strong women in the future. I'm Heidi Holden.